Jeremiah chapter 33, we'll start reading in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. That's pretty key when we get into verse number 3. Then he says in verse number 3, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We've heard this verse preached, I'm sure, many times. Many times we look at it and we, if you will, we say, wow, that's a pretty neat verse. God can show us great and mighty things. But tonight I want to ask you something. What if God doesn't answer? Many times we have come to Jeremiah 33:3, and I've heard it quoted. I have seen it put all over churches. I have seen it on plaques. I've seen it on picture frames. I have seen it all over the place. And the promise of call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things is something that, wow, it sounds good, and many times we love, but we've missed the whole context, if you will. We've missed the whole emphasis of Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. I used to read over this verse and say, wow, look what God can do. And then I realized God wasn't doing it not because of God, but because of me. I came to Jeremiah 33, and I had never looked at the context of Jeremiah 33. Do you realize that Jeremiah, at this point in time, he has been preaching for over 40 years to the people of Judah. Over 40 years, the people of Judah have listened to Jeremiah's message as men in captivity. And Jeremiah preaching day in and day out, and he's preaching God's word for 40 years. And do you know he gave an invitation after every single message? And do you know how many people responded to Jeremiah's message in 40 years? None. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the discouragement for the preacher to Judah? Wow. He's been preaching for over 40 years. No response. The captivity is still away from God. They're still not listening to what God has to say. And God comes to Jeremiah again. This time, Jeremiah is in the prison. This time, Jeremiah has been shut up. Nobody will listen to his message. And Jeremiah just stays faithful to God. And because he's faithful to God, now he's been put in prison because of his preaching. Now he's in there, and God's still giving him messages. And Jeremiah is still preaching messages in the prison. And still nobody's listening to him. That's the context of Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah's preaching. Nobody's listening. But Jeremiah doesn't care. Jeremiah's still preaching. Jeremiah's still having an altar call. And guess who's at the altar? Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he's come to the point where, you know what, it doesn't matter whether they respond or not. I'm just going to preach and I'm going to let God keep working in my heart. This is the message that God gives Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, tell the people of Judah. He's not speaking specifically to Jeremiah. He's speaking to the whole children of Judah. And he says, listen, he says, call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And when we come to this passage, we have to understand, yes, this is talking about prayer. But more specifically, it's speaking on the subject of revival. God is saying, call unto me. I'll answer you. Many times today, we've given up the whole idea of calling out to God. We pray three times a day, you know, with our meals, and then it's, oh yeah, pray for the offering. Oh yeah, pray for the start of church. And are we really talking to God? It's almost comical to me. The churches I get in, and when they take the offering, every once in a while, the pastor will ask somebody to pray for the offering. And this is how they pray for the offering. Are you ready? Dear Lord, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. And then they realize what they've done. And so they try to fix it. This spiritual food that we're about to receive. It's almost like we've missed the concept of prayer today. But when we come to Jeremiah 33 in verse number 3, there are some great things we can see from this passage that I believe will help us not just in our prayer life, but in our prayer for revival and seeing God work in our lives. But you must understand from this passage tonight, prayer was never designed to change God. Prayer is designed to change me. And I believe we'll see that tonight from Jeremiah chapter 33. First of all tonight, when we look at prayer, you must realize that there are limitations to prayer. Some people think, hey, if I pray, God's going to hear me. God doesn't always guarantee to answer your prayer. Do you realize that, friend? You say, oh, but God says, ask and you'll receive. Yeah, he also says, you have not because you ask not. And he also tells us in the Word other principles of prayer. He tells us that God will not hear the prayer of the ungodly. I have been in countries like Romania where I have seen people crawl for miles on their knees praying to God. Does God hear their prayers? The answer is no. I've been in China where I have seen people wrap little prayer papers and hang them on trees for the God to hear them. Does God hear those prayers? The answer is no. There's only one prayer that God hears from the heathen. Save me! That's the prayer that God hears from the heathen. He doesn't hear the rest of the prayers. I hear many times people say, oh, I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll serve you. And then God gets them out of that situation, they say, and then they go on to serve God and they get right with God. I'll just be honest with you. God doesn't hear that prayer. I mean, God may be merciful in their situation, but God tells us all throughout the Word of God, He does not hear the prayers of the ungodly. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7, but when you pray, you use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, they're not heard. You know, so God, He has limitations to hearing the child of God's prayer. But He also has limitations to hearing those who are right with God. So many times I hear people say, I pray that God's going to bless my church. I pray that God's going to do a work of revival. I pray that God's going to bless my family. And it's just obvious that they have sin in their hearts and in their lives. And I ask them, how's that working for you? And they say, not too well. Well, that's when we go back to David. David tells us this. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Hey, pack it up, friend. If you're not right with God, don't expect God to send revival to your heart until you get right with God. Hey, friend, you want God to bless your ministry? You want God to bless your family? You want God to bless your church? You want God to bless your home? Don't expect Him to do it till you get right with God. And He also tells us the third limitation is it's limited to the will of God. He tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have of Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Friend, you can pray, but if it's a hazy, crazy, or lazy prayer, get this, God won't hear you. He won't. You say hazy, crazy, or lazy. You know those prayers, Lord, bless me. What does that mean? Bless me. Boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? But He says, you have not because you ask not. Specific prayers. Then the lazy prayers. Oh, Lord, help us today. I don't know what I'm praying about, but Lord, help us. Really? Just laziness. Then the crazy prayers. Lord, give me $1 million. And that's where we come into the will of God. Is it God's will for you to have $1 million? Many times we pray and we're not even concerned about God's will. We pray, and it's not, Lord, Thy will be done, but it's, Lord, I want my will today. Would You please do this right here? God doesn't promise to answer that prayer. He says, when you ask according to My will, I hear you. And I think many times we're just convinced that if we pray hard enough about what we want, God will eventually answer our prayer the way we want Him to. No. Friend, prayer doesn't change God. It changes me. To surrender to God's will and what He's doing. So now we come to Jeremiah chapter 33 in verse number 3. I first want you to see the power of prayer. Notice what he says in verse number 3. Call unto me. Who's he talking to? Who's in that passage right there? Call unto your pastor. Hey, that's not a bad idea, by the way. But that's not what he's referring to. He says, call unto me. We've gotten in our heads today and in our hearts today that, you know what, I just need to ask. And man, I hope this is going to happen. But we failed to bring God into the picture. And when we don't call out to God, God says, listen, you'll never have until you call to me. He tells us in verse number 2 and in verse number 1. He says, the Lord is his name. He says, call unto me. He says, I will give it you. He says, call unto my will and I will give it thee. And the power of prayer. He tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. He says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He says in Matthew 7 and verse number 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He tells us in Matthew 7 and verse number 9, he is speaking of a father and a child, and he says, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse number 10, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse number 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We've gotten into our minds today that we can just take care of it ourselves, haven't we? We've gotten into our minds today when we have financial struggles, pull out the credit card instead of go to God. I'm not against the credit card, friend. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we've put our trust in man rather than God. Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me. You want revival? Call unto me. You want successful Christian living? Call unto me. You want the abundant Christian life, the victorious Christian life? Do you want the victory over your sin that does so easily beset you? Call unto me. Do you want the church to grow? Call unto me. Do you want forgiveness of sins and cleansing? Call unto me. Do you want to see your family come to Christ? Call unto me. You say, but I have been calling and God sure hasn't been answering. Keep calling, friend. There are other passages of the Bible that specifically deal with the prayer of importunity. In other words, continuing to beg God. And get this, He will answer. You know why? Because He's God. The fact is, many times we're looking for an answer from God that would be our answer rather than His answer. Did you know that the answer, wait, is an answer? Did you know the answer, no, is an answer? Does not God know what's best for me and what's best for you? I have seen people time after time after time beg God for healing upon their bodies because they were just diagnosed with cancer. They were just found out they had 2 months to live, or because they just found out they have MS, or because one of their family members is in the hospital and only has a week to live. Those kind of things. And I've heard people beg God for their lives or to heal them. And then God chooses not to heal them. And I remember asking a dear lady in my home church, but what if God doesn't heal you? And she said, that's an answer too. And finally she began to pray and say, you know what? God's given me opportunities to witness to the people in the hospital. And then she began to pray that God would take her home and that when He did so, He would do so in such a way that it would be a testimony to Jesus Christ. And guess what? God answered those just as much as He did of, no, I'll get more glory out of your sickness and your death as a saint to come home with me than I will have I led you there. But at the same time, God says, call unto me. The power of prayer is not in me. The power of prayer is in Him. But I also want you to see this. Notice what He says. Call unto me. The power of prayer, it's of Jesus Christ. But then I want you to see the promise of prayer. Sometimes we forget that prayer and the answer to prayer is a promise. You notice what He says here in verse number 3? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. I have heard it often stated, well, we've been praying for revival. We haven't seen revival. Guess God just didn't want to send it.
No. You call unto God for revival. Get this, friend. He will send it. Because he says so right there. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. You say, then why don't we have it? Because of me and you? You see, there are conditions to revival. Just like there are conditions to prayer. Calling according to his will. When we pray for revival, he promises to answer us. And if you look at Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, like we will in a few minutes, you'll see that this passage is more about revival than it is about prayer. And he deals with right here, call unto me, I will answer thee. So when God doesn't send revival, whose fault is it? It's mine. You felt the Holy Spirit working this week? Excuse me for using that term. Have you sensed the Holy Spirit working this week? Have you sensed the tugging at your heart? Have you sensed that God is dealing with you in specific areas, whether big or whether small? And get this, friend, that's God working. That's God saying, you prayed for revival. I want to send it. Now it's up to you. He says, when you seek me, you'll find me. You say, but I haven't found him. Then I must not be seeking. Does he not say, when you'll seek me, you'll find me? Is that not a promise? Does he not say right here, call to me and I will answer thee? And what happens when we do not see an answer? Oh, that's right. God makes mistakes, doesn't he? Oh, that's right. Sometimes God doesn't mean exactly what he says in the Bible, right? No. God means every single word that he says. And friend, he will follow through with every word that he says. So how about me and you? Why don't we see God answer? It's not because of God. It's because of me. How desperate are you and I for God? And I want you to see this, the promise of prayer. He says, I will answer thee. Then I want you to see the possibilities of prayer. This is astounding. He says this, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I realize tonight this is nothing new, so please bear with me for just a few more minutes. Great and mighty things. Friend, do you realize that God is capable of doing far more than you and I could ever ask or think? Do you realize how great God is? I think many times we look at the things of the past and we say, that's because we serve a God of the past. But no, friend, the same God of the past is the same God of today. And I can trust in him. He says, I will show thee great and mighty things. Wow. It's pretty amazing. In other words, God says, listen, friend, when you call to me, I'll answer you. And when I answer you, I'm going to show you great things. And then, if that's not enough, God then tops it off by saying this, and mighty things. In case you haven't figured out, mighty is greater than great. Wow! God's saying, listen, just call to me. I'll answer you in your home life, in your work, in your family, in your job, in your finances. Hey, listen, God says call. So many times, we'd rather just handle it ourselves, wouldn't we? How about today? I mean, think about today. Think about the struggles of the day. Because every single one of us, despite the halos that you see across the auditorium, every single one of us had the same time period in today. Every single one of us dealt with, get this, you ready? People. You can't live with them and you can't live without them. Every single one of us deal with those situations. And get this, how many times did you and I go to God with our situations? The fact is, friend, to be quite honest, most of us, we included God some in our day, but most of our day was just about us. No wonder we don't see revival. You see, when it comes to the point of revival, you will seek God every moment of the day. I don't mean constantly on your knees. I mean, God, I want to serve you today. Show me what I need to do.
God, I must have you in this situation. God, I need you. God, I want to walk with you. God, I want to be clean before you. And he tells us, get this, you ready for this? Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, is it possible? Is it possible to live without sin? Trick question. I am a sinner. I will always be a sinner. I have this dirty, rotten flesh that I must put up with. And some of us, like myself, put up with a whole lot more than you do. But listen, friend. He tells us when I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That, in other words, when you trust me to live every moment of every day, and when you're looking to me for cleansing, when you're looking to me for power, sin cannot dwell where he is. But when he's not there, look out, the sin's coming in. He says here, call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. So why don't we see great and mighty things? Why don't we see our churches across America booming? Why aren't we seeing people saved on a regular basis? Why aren't we seeing answers to prayer? Why aren't we seeing God work? First of all, many times we're not even calling to him. Many times we're not looking for that answer to prayer. Many times we are praying, if you will, instead of calling. Do you know the difference between a prayer and a call? A prayer is, dear Lord, be with us today. It's simply talking to God. That is a prayer. We all know what that is. Do you know what a call is? Help! That's a call. And he says right here, call unto me. If you are in the ocean and you are swimming and then you get tired and you start to drown, are you going to be praying for the lifeguard to come and help you? Oh, lifeguard, I wish you would come out here and help me today. Do you get the picture? Or is it, help me! I need help today! How desperate are you for God today? That's what God says right here. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Wow. That's usually where we end the verse. That's how we end the verse in that context. Positive. But the last phrase of the verse is not positive. It's negative. Notice what he says. Jeremiah 33 in verse number 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I often thought it meant this. Wow, great and mighty things that I can't even comprehend. I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like, isn't it? Wow, look what God can do. But that's not what it's saying. Notice it again. He says, which thou knowest not. The Hebrew words there, in essence, they say, which you will never know. In other words, it says this, and the definition of these words would be, you have knowledge of what God can do, but you will never comprehend what God will do. In other words, God says, I can do great and mighty things, but you will never experience them. And you say, oh, what? What? Never experience them? Right. You want to know why? Because we don't call. We're not desperate for God anymore. We don't make an altar here at the front or in our own hearts. And we're more concerned about our daily lives than, God, I must have you. That's what he says in verse number 3. Call unto me, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things. But now remember, he's speaking to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the one who's preached for over 40 years, the one who has not seen an invitation except for himself, one who has never seen a decision because of his preaching. And God comes to him a second time while he's shut up in the prison. And he says, Jeremiah, call unto me. But Jeremiah, they already know that. And Jeremiah, they will never see it.
until they call unto me, until they seek my face, until they're honest about their sin and about my holiness, until they seek me, they will not find me. That's what God is saying. You say, how do you know? Let's follow it up with the rest of the chapter. He tells us in verse number 8, he's still speaking to Jeremiah, and he says this. He says, Jeremiah, I will cleanse them from their iniquity. He says in verse number 7, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. Do you understand what's going on here? Here is what God is telling Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, if my people will seek me, they'll find me. He says, I will cleanse them of their sin. And then once I cleanse them of their sin, I will restore them to the land that they were taken out of. He says, I'll bring them out of captivity. I'll set them free. Christian, God wants to set you free. He wants to give you the victorious Christian life. He wants to give you victory. He wants to give you real, lasting, inward joy, no matter the circumstances. He wants to cleanse you of all your sin, and there's no sin too big that He cannot forgive. And He says this, He says, you want to know this but not comprehend this? Because you never call in desperation for me. Does it make sense, Christian? You see, many times we look at this verse as prayer. It's not about prayer. It's about calling unto God. It's not about our pretty little prayers and our pretty little churches. Lord, quote, bless us today. No. This is God. We must have you. And friend, if you're not that desperate for God, you will only know of it from the Bible. You will never comprehend it. We've read about it. But you'll never see what it can do for you. Maybe tonight you're sitting under the sound of my voice, and if you were to die today, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. That verse applies to you too. He says, call unto me. I will answer thee. Think God can't save you? God can. God uses the exact same word call in Romans. And He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He offers that freely to you. But Christian, this particular passage in Jeremiah is all about revival. He says, call. Call. He says, stop praying. Start calling. You say, man, I just don't know if God will... Really? Are we back to that point? I just don't know about revival. Really? Are we back to that point? God says, call, I'll answer you. God says, when you seek me, you'll find me. God says, are you desperate for me to work? I will. God says, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things when you call. He says, but if you don't call, you'll only know it in your mind. You'll never comprehend it. That today is a sad state that we are in all across America. Knowledge without comprehension. Knowledge without ever seeing it happen. Because we're not desperate to call out to God. Honest about His holiness. Honest about our sin. And then obedient and what He tells us, so that when we call, He will answer.